Hi, I'm Amy Tianyi Zhao, a Chinese living in America.
And I'm Meg, an American who married into a Chinese family.
We're the host of The Spark,
a podcast that explores what it means to traverse between cultures, interrupt barriers, and create connections.
大家好，我们是火花电台，一档致力于打破文化边界，偶尔以中英双语录制的播客节目。欢迎你和我们一起用对话启迪思想，用好奇点亮可能。
Well, here we are, following up after our last episode to China and back. And
yes,
we ended the episode talking about that moment when I was in China and you were in New York and we were talking just quick text messages, but also like the text messages contained some really big life updates, just quick ones.
Yes.
And we talked about how even though you were across the world, we were across the world from each other and you were going to bed and I was in the middle of my day, we had never felt more connected than in that moment.
Yeah.
Just where I was and what and where you were at and everything you were experiencing. And before we even recorded our last episode and before I left on the trip, we talked about what is going to happen for each of us over the next so many weeks, not just me being in China, but also you and what your aspirations and goals are over the next few weeks as you look ahead to what the future could possibly hold. And you had an inkling that things were going to progress or to happen, but you weren't really sure. And if you know, and if you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to that episode, because I think it's really important to pick up there before you get into our last episode and then this episode. So today, I would love, as I'm sure everyone else would, to hear what went on for you while I was gone.
Yes.
Because we have some big life changes.
It's a lot of big life changes, and it really made me realize things do happen, and you can only react. Now that I'm not trying to take control of my own life and be the quote-unquote girl boss, I'm kind of allergic to that word at this point in my life, but I think things will go towards the direction that you have been working hard for if you keep working hard for it, if that makes sense. And I did not, just this disclaimer, I did not work hard to in order to squeeze my boss away. That was not my intention. But I'm so happy for him. This person who has been working literally is a mentor of my life, and it's a great friend of mine. He's still alive. The way that I said it, it's like we always joked around that we've been preparing for his funeral for like months.
And I want to cut in real quick. Sorry to interrupt. But
of course, no.
Those of you who have been following along for a while, her boss was actually a guest on The Spark.
Yes.
Palio.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes,
and
I forgot.
It was such an amazing episode. It's one of those interviews we recorded during the pandemic. So go back if you want to get to know him and you want to understand just how special of a person he is and how special of a person he is to Amy. Go back and listen to that. And it's such an incredible conversation. So continue. But I just wanted to point people in the direction of his episode.
Yeah, by knowing that he's actually in here talking about anything that is not related to work with me already shows, you know, what kind of person that he is. And so he left, in short, he left for better job opportunities in UNICEF. We are all really, really happy for him. But that also means in an office structure as rudimentary and as sometimes unorganized as we are, because we always take things on once they hit us and we are very great and quick in terms of reacting. But for things like this happened, we've been preparing for it. Like I said, it's almost like preparing for his funeral. But when it actually happened, it all hit us in a different way. And it hit me that now I have to be in charge of the office as the office manager, which it's a different title, but it's we are all the same level of staff. But it's just a different title and different responsibilities. How do I want to continue leading this office towards a direction that is productive to the overall society becomes a question that that is in front of my eyes. And I, so that happened, and I also had a discussion on finance with my boyfriend, and it's how can I say? I think it has, at the end of the day, it really has nothing to do. It's great that I'm talking about it with him, but it's a very demoralizing moment for me to realize, oh, this is how much I have in comparison. It's almost like show our grades.
That's
you know?
So true. Maybe that's why it's so hard to talk about money sometimes, because it is like that primary experience of like, oh, I got an A, what do you have, kind of thing.
Yes. And then so that's like, it's very interesting as well. Yeah, but it's, I think in the larger scheme of things, it's going to be good for me, because now I feel like it put me into perspective to see things clearly and to work really as a team to make things better. I sound like I'm doing a review of some kind of joint effort, but I really started thinking about things that way, no matter if it's in professional settings or it's in life. It is a project that needs to be tackled, because immediately upon Palio's departure, I started working in the office, and I tried to figure out what would be a good way when a 30-year-old is the oldest person in the office, other than my boss. Like my boss boss. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that part out, but I've been trying to. Okay, so first of all, I think I said it before. I used to think manager is not a real job, because the last thing I want was being a middle level impediment to the people that when you have to report to me and then I have to report to the top. I don't want to be that layer of barrier. But then I started realizing that it's so important, because it's important for me to get a hand of what is going on with everything. And that specific perspective is different from just working on one project or just focusing on one function like I did before. To have the responsibility to know what is going on as an individual is already different. It was already a step up from where I was before. And to be responsible for things that go wrong, to be the point of contact, it's also very different, because I didn't like taking other people's responsibilities. I bet nobody really likes it, but when you are the person in charge, you are the person who's going to be responsible for other people's mistakes, because it has to go through you before going to. I know it sounds insane that I should have known this already, but we are a very young office, and we are operating in we're trying to figure things out as we go. Whereas I always say that we're a startup inside of an organization that is ancient, but we operate like a startup. So everything is new. So like I started learning about, oh, responsibility not only means you have to do your job well, but you also have to guarantee other people's success. To feel comfortable delegating things to people, but always make sure that you know what they're doing and be on top of everything. The delegation, because I was very hesitant with delegation before, because I think that means pushing your responsibilities away. Granted, we have seen a lot of people like that in real life. When you do a group homework, there's always this one person who is only good at delegation.
Yep.
I really try to avoid becoming that person, but I realize it's just different job function. You delegate, and then you it means that you still know how to do this specific task, and most importantly, you can be the guidance. You can be the final person, final gate before it reaches to the decision makers.
Yeah.
So, as I'm sitting here, combing through everything with you, you knew what happened in the last couple of months,
yes.
last couple of weeks. I cried the first day. I think I looped into it in the beginning of last episode or towards the end of last episode. The new year 2024, New Year's Eve, or the first day of New Year's in the year of dragon, I bawled my eye out. I was like, I don't want this.
Yeah. Because like you said, it's like one of those things that you knew it was coming, but it's,
yeah,
even though you knew, it's still shocking when it happens.
Yes. But do I like it? I love the feeling of being in control and how to be in control without pushing other people down and to create an environment where everyone can grow.
Yes.
It's very rewarding. It's a learning experience for me. And also, I think, what is the other one that I want? Oh, I also learned that to put my effort in areas where I can get control of. That being said, I would just say, this is no secret, but the UN is a huge organization with layers and layers of management. To get one thing done, it would involve the coordination between several departments. Just for one event, we will have more than like 2-3 departments, including a publishing departments for events that we have to literally write emails to. Most time in our days, we wait for other people's response before we can push things forward. And so that means I had this anger inside of me, this antsy feeling that being, I always say there's some kind of a rebellion spirit in myself that I always, it just demonstrates itself, you know, most inappropriate times sometimes. I was like, I get mad at the finance people. I was like, is that a real job? You literally just copy paste what's on the bank account and then send it to us, you know? And then I realized, of course, it's not your only job and it makes sense why you exist, but it's still not very convincing. But okay, this is just how the organization operates. Sure. And then it took me a long time to have that anger because I got so angry sometimes. And I feel like it's not good for me physically. And then I start networking. I started networking. So that's another thing I started doing nowadays, surprisingly. Because once you become the focal points, you start, you're getting to know more people. And as I talk to more people, I realize, you know, everywhere is similar in a way.
Yeah.
In a way, of course, it's not completely the same.
Mm-mm. But there are common
threads. But it is similar. Yeah. Like it's, so that means for me to spend effort and time and energy to fight against the status quo, I don't know if it's worth it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I can put that effort into elsewhere.
Right.
That's my new realization. Like fighting against the status quo might not be as good as trying to find a new status quo.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, so learn to compromise. It's another thing that I learned. I knew I said it before that I was learning, but this time I really learned.
Yeah.
Because if I get angry at everything that I do, I will be that will be really bad for me physically.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that was my rant for like 15 minutes. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Not a rant, because, you know, I have to tell you, before we hopped on today, I sometimes go up to the closest city to me, Missoula, and I work from coffee shops, and I'm currently at the library right now.
Yeah.
And but I did run into one of my friends who also listens to The Spark, and she was asking about you, and she was like, I remember one of the last episodes. She's like, how are things going with The Spark? I remember one of the last episodes about Amy just making moves in her career. And she was going to have this dinner with one of her professors and all this. So people are...
I got stood up.
Well, there's the update.
Did I not tell you? Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So.
Yes.
Or maybe you...
Okay, that's another thing. That's I maybe cool. text you.
Yes.
But...
Yes,
that's another thing I learned.
Yeah. So people are genuinely invested in your career journey, Amy. Like
thank you, people.
They are invested. They need the updates. They need to know what happens next. And I think what is so fascinating actually about this is because people, when they look at an organization like the UN and anybody who works there, immediately it's like, whoa, that's amazing. That's incredible. Yeah. Like that's right up there in like working in the White House in some people's eyes. Mm-hmm. And it kind of is. And so I think people are not only like they're genuinely curious about what it's like to work for an organization like the UN, but also they're genuinely curious to hear about your experience. But then also there's a whole other layer that I don't think people talk about much is that transition from being managed to being the manager.
Yes.
And that transition, it is not graceful. I don't know anybody who has made that transition flawlessly because it is so hard, especially, and I'm curious to see how this unfolds for you, especially in an office where you've been working alongside everyone that you are now managing for so long.
Yes.
And then you're now moving into this more authoritative role of your fellow coworkers and how that is received. I mean, I've met a lot of the people in your office and they're all phenomenal people. They're wonderful. Shout out to all of you. You're great. But it is hard. And I've managed people in the past and I have zero desire to ever do it in the future. It's just, it's stressful and it takes a certain amount of self-awareness, but also humility because it's like one thing I noticed, it's like some of the most powerful things I could say when I was managing people is I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Let me go find out. Like, I don't want to steer people wrong. And then also like the ability to admit when you are wrong and say, hey, I really messed up. And like, also take into account, like workplace trauma is a real thing. And when you're a manager, you're almost like in charge of managing, like you have the power to ensue trauma on people's work lives, or you have the power to heal it, or you have the power to not create it at all, or a combination of the both. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a big job. I think
big difference is in terms of people managing, I asked my partner about this, working a bigger, bank. I think what I learned too is it's important to establish respect. So, which means that you just can't, in a professional setting, you can't say certain things. You can't do certain things. There's no straight rules saying what you can and cannot do, but there is a very fine line, and I used to enjoy stepping it because Palayo and I we met in a time that both of us were just two wandering soul and in the city, and we're all foreigners, and it's a good bounding time. And now as time go on, I just think that it's important for the office to work in a more organic and efficient way. We just can't, I can't continuously stepping that boundaries and do something that is just not right.
Yeah.
Not that I did something that's super wrong, but you know, it's just how close you are with your coworker and how much I want to combine my private life together with my work life, which is also a very hard thing because working in my field, we do a lot of events. We basically only do events in the UN, right? But we also in charge of like the office. That's what I do. And also the finance, the HR, the administrative, everything, along with the organizing and the conclusion of every single event that we do. But when we do events, that's when sometimes private lives and your professional lives get completely meshed together. And I work with the community that don't have that clear boundaries, which is the reason why a lot of the times amazing things happen, because when you network, people always say, oh, be real and be true to yourself. And that sometimes means that you are kind of mixing that boundaries. But also what I learned is, no matter how many glasses of wine that you had, still behave yourself. That is not an excuse to do or say anything that is inappropriate. So that is kind of sad in a way, because, you know, I could have become friends, but we are still friends, and I do consider some of them like one of the, like, closest friends, but we'll be even better friends when we are in better places, you know, when we work in different places in the future, right? Like, we will have this shared memories together, and that is what we are striving for. So
absolutely. And I think you had such a great role model in this position, like with Pelayo, the way that he led, just knowing from your experience and then also getting to meet him and to see him interact with your team. He did such a phenomenal job of striking that balance between that camaraderie with all of you, but then also that line of professionalism, like, you know, with
and
between
I just,
his role and yours.
And now I can say it, but for a very long time I couldn't say it because we were trying to keep it in the down low about the fact that he's leaving. But I was his last reference to who pushed him to the new job. It was supposed to be a 20 minutes call. I'm not giving myself a pat on the shoulders. I'm just saying, so in case, you know, people think about it the other way, but I'm not the reason why he got the job. He got his job because he's an exceptional individual.
Exactly.
But I helped, and it was supposed to be a 20-minute phone call, and then it turned into like 35, if not 40 minutes. And at the end of the phone call, the guy who is his current boss just said to me that he wishes that someday when he need a reference, he could get the same level of reference as Clio did. So he's like, oh, I wish I could hear someone speak about me like you spoke about him.
And that just goes to show who Pelayo was as a manager.
And that is a legacy, you know, like, it's just a person in life that really inspired me in a lot of ways. Because once he left, it's, again, it sounds like a freaking funeral. We always joke about it, so it's nothing like that's, you know, off boundaries. But you want people to say good things about you at the end. And the amount of good things that people said about him upon his departure to a new job, and like, was overwhelming. And that's such a role model, because that made me feel like that's the meaning of living in this world. You live through, it's a one-way ticket, and you had interactions with different individuals, and upon every changes that you have in your life, people say good things about you. That's not the reason for you to live. Of course, if you don't have those, you're still an exceptional individual. You should never, you know, your existence should never be built upon other people's praise. But how nice would it be?
Exactly. And it's like the way that you show up every day is how people are going to remember you. And that's how they're going to speak about you in other rooms. And it kind of goes into that, you know, that discussion about like reputations and things like that. But I think where it goes beyond is, I mean, I heard this stat a few years ago that we spend 75% of our working years with our coworkers and our boss. 75%
Really?
Of our time. Yes. So that's a lot of time. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, yeah, like, I spend time with my coworkers as much as I do my family. And
that's crazy.
That's crazy. And with that stat, your manager has one of the biggest impacts on your mental health and well-being, and your physical health for that matter, because it's all tied together. So it's a role that's very important, because it kind of decides what kind of day people have. You know what I mean? Like, people are responsible for their own day, but also a bad manager which I have had an extremely bad manager before.
Oh, really?
It makes or breaks your world, like to the point where, I mean, in that position, I was considering quitting because I could not stand working for this person. And it was just super challenging. So it's like the responsibility that's bestowed upon you as a manager.
Induced trauma.
Yeah. And it's not just, you're not just responsible for the work that your office does. You're responsible in many regards of the well-being of your team. And So, and I have no doubt that you're going to just do a phenomenal job at this, you know?
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you know what I realized too, is that if I can do a good job, which I doubt it, I can confidently say that I doubt it. But if I can do a good job, it does not mean that I'm not good. It just means that I'm not good with being a manager.
And that's okay.
Sure, I'm a still great friend.
Right. Exactly.
And I can still do my job well. So there are so many other indicators that can define you as a person. Sure, some indicators are more important than the others. I don't want to stay, like, I don't want to continue doing administrative work for the rest of my life. I'm not looking down upon it, but I just think that in comparison to program managing and administrative, I would prefer the first and the latter. But I don't mind it because, to be honest, the majority of my time right now, notice is doing administrative, is lifting things, putting things down. It's HR, it's copying, it's printing things out, it's arranging meetings, going to meetings, taking notes, you know?
Yeah.
Those are just what I do in order to make sure that the office is working appropriately.
Yeah.
And I, for a very long time, and sometimes I have to admit that I still feel that way, that I think what I do is not enough because I don't think the work that I do is difficult. I don't think that is something that you have to have a master's degree in, to do.
Yeah.
I think I'm, mind-wise, I don't doubt that I could be do a more challenging job, which is something that I'm longing for. But it doesn't mean that what I'm doing right now is not valuable.
Right.
And if I can do what I'm doing now, well, it's only going to set up for the next step. And I think it's very clear, which is something that despite how different me and my boss, my big boss is sometimes, we're all very clear, and which is good in a larger scheme of things. We have a clear vision of what this office is. This office is going to be a place that builds you up as a person. It's not going to be a destination. And we are very open about it. It's going to be, it's supposed to be a jumping board for your next step.
Right.
And it's your choice to stay or leave.
Right.
And so despite the differences on a lot of other things, I think this is one thing that we have in common, and that is good and reassuring. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very excited to watch you unfold in this role and just see where that leads to for you. And just
me
be able,
too.
I think this is, like I said, I think this is something that people are genuinely curious about learning more as, and like, you know, taking in someone else's experience as they're walking through something like what you're walking through. And that crosses every culture, you know, it's just, there's, we talk about, you know, we have talked in more of a business fashion at times on here, just because that is all part of, you know, the spark in a way. It's like living, working in different cultures and with people from different cultures. And just, I don't know how it all ties back. We're living in a globalized world and you're working at the epicenter of it. You know what I mean? And, but that aside, it's just, it's applicable to everyone who goes through this transition. So it's just cool to witness big moves. And it's really cool to that has progressed in that way. Your career has progressed in that way. after, you know, we talked at the beginning of the year and just thinking about what it could hold. And here we are.
Let's just say this is a very eventful first quarter. I was not expecting a lot of the things. And also, I know that it might sound a little, that's another thing. Like, remember in the beginning that we were talking about it, your career is not, it's hard to evoke the overall, people listen to career talk like you're observing other people's story. But I really encourage you to think about it from other perspective, because I just hope that what I'm saying here now, sure, is all about me, because unfortunately, like, I don't know other people's story that well. But I think, you know, I think it can be applied to so many different aspects in life. And another thing that I want to talk about, though, might create some kind of similar experience you may have, is last time where we left off, that I was about to have a dinner with very important, like the president of my alma mater.
Yeah.
2 months ahead of time, we booked this and I got stewed up one day before the event. And I can't say that part of me was expecting it to happen, but also I was, so in Chinese, we have this word called 贵人. So 贵人, 贵 is the same character as expensive. Mm. So for a very long time, I thought 贵人 means someone who looks very expensive. Like literally, mm-hmm. I know that 贵人 is supposed to be someone who helps you in your career or like your life in general. But this person, in order to become a 贵人, you have to look expensive. It has to be someone who's rich and famous, who's like already there. Mm-hmm. But then what I also, so I, for a very long time, I've been seeing this dinner as my chance to see, to establish like 贵人, you know, because they are expensive. They're the head of school. They're like bankers, you know, these are the people who I want to become. But then I realize it's not about someone who looks expensive. It literally only means someone who helps you in important life transitions. This person does not have to have any qualification, but they appear at a time where you are most in need. You have to be friends with this person. It's a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to have a lifelong relationship with this person, but you have to be grateful. But this person does not have to look expensive.
And oh my gosh. Okay, continue. That is just.
Yeah. So I learned that. And I realized also that I'm very easy to get stood up in that situation, because it's clear that the power dynamic is I'm their granddaughter, you know. I can't compete with whatever. When you say no to one thing, you must be saying yes to the other. So when you're saying no to me, it literally means that the other thing is more important than me, which is completely fine. Mm-hmm. But it also made me realize, okay, well, I'm not there yet, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you bring this up, because actually today I caught up with one of my mentors who is very much one of those people for me, like that person who's in the, I came to know her towards my senior year of college, and worked for a publication locally here that she was the business partner of the founder. And so I got to eventually like work for that publication in college and really be up close with two brilliant minds and two brilliant women behind it. And I was thinking about today, you know, catching up and the sacredness of that relationship, and how I also, after leaving that conversation, I was thinking about, okay, what are my other mentors that I haven't caught up with lately, or that it almost feels like, am I doing enough as a mentee to like stay in touch, to do these different
things? What can you give?
Yes. And I like what you bring up in the term, in the definition of that word, the redefinition of that word
Yeah.
is more like they were there at a very specific moment in time and instrumental to your success at that moment in time. And sometimes maybe that's all that they were. And
Yes.
that's okay. There doesn't need to be a ton of pressure
No.
around, oh, I need to stay in touch. And then you get into this cycle of like, I feel guilty because I haven't reached out and I haven't done all these things. And like, it's great. And I really try to make an effort with all of my mentors, you know, to stay in touch and to catch up and to have the coffee and to go to an event together. But at the same time, you're absolutely right. There doesn't need to be pressure around it in the sense
Yeah.
that you have to be doing all these things with them at all the different times because they served in that moment. And then the only thing you can do is to return that favor, but to someone else who is
Yes.
looking to
Yes.
you as a mentor and a role
Yes.
model. And
Yes.
I think about it now. I mean, I'm 7 years into my career or 8 or something like that. I've lost track of the years, but I'm far enough out. Like last year, around this exact time, maybe like, yeah, around this time last year, I actually gave a presentation back at my old alma mater about my own career progression and marketing and copywriting. And I got to talk to college students, and it was such a full circle moment. Where I was like, wow, I was literally sitting in their chair not that long ago. And it's that
Yeah.
moment where you feel like, wow, I think, I guess this confirms that I kind of made it. But then also, the only thing I wanted to do, and I told them this before, I was so nervous. Like I was so nervous. I was more nervous for that than I have been for much of anything else, just because, and I explained this to them. I said, this is the most important thing I could be doing today. Is talking to you because I had so many people help me get to where I am today. And it, I wouldn't, I mean, yes, I worked my butt off and I did a lot of, I did my part in the work to get here. But also, if it weren't for them, I don't know. You know what I mean? And so, how can I be that for somebody
Yeah.
else? And I love that you bring that up. It doesn't have to be. I don't know. Anyone can do that for anyone. You don't have to
Yes.
be like quote unquote expensive, like you were saying. It's like, you know.
Yes. And the thing is, I think it's such a poetic concept. I started learning upon that rejection. First of all, we arranged another date on April the 16th. So we will see if it's happening. If it's not, it's not. It's
Yeah.
fine. But I also learned that they're help the important those people who are helping you. It's like it should almost be effortless for them. It's
Yes.
like you are in a position where you're so high up that you don't feel threatened. You feel like you're doing a good deed, but this good deed is not going to sacrifice your time or energy to the degree that you are expecting a return. You
Right.
know, it should be a favor. That's it, like picking up trash upon leaving the conference room. But that could mean the world to the other person. Just those
Exactly.
small things is more than enough. And then and then that's it. So I think again, I think it's a very poetic concept. And I just all in a sudden lost this obsession with people who look expensive.
I love that. I love that. Because at the end of the
Yeah.
day, they're just people.
I still respect them. I still think they're incredible individuals, but I realize it's not like a race car where you follow behind a car that is very fast and you will be fast too. It doesn't really work like that. And
No.
a dinner can change a lot of things, but without the dinner, we can still be an important person and help for other people. So
Exactly.
that's also something I learned.
It's so
Yeah.
important, though. I think that that's so important. You know, on a cultural note, too, something I noticed when I was in China this past time is just the observation. I spend a lot of time observing because half the time I can't really understand exactly what's being said.
That's totally fair. You can just say you don't understand and then people will be like, okay. And of course you don't. You say you don't know exactly. People don't have that expectations from you.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes I can pick up like generally what we're talking about. Can I join in? No. Can I tell you what you just said? No, unless it's pretty basic. But I do notice that there is a lot of groundwork and effort that goes into making an impression on people who can potentially help you. But I've noticed like from the outside, which is so different from here in the sense I've just noticed the differences. It's like, there's this, and then there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
That I know. It's that person's going to help you. And in some way, shape or form, part of it feels really uncomfortable because I feel like if I were in that position to be kind of really hoping for someone's time and for someone's insight and potential helping hand to feel like I would be chasing them like a lost puppy in a way.
Yeah.
Feels uncomfortable in a way, but I did notice like, because I'm always observing things like that and aspects of that when I am in China, just to see like how it works. Cause I've always been interested in, as a person with a business administration and marketing degree with a focus in international business, to kind of see it in action, what it takes in each culture to succeed in business, in your career. It's just very fascinating what the cultural protocol is for that. And to kind of witness that is very interesting, you know?
And you know what is really, really fun too, what you just said, it's also something that I learned by accident. I learned it from my friend's Ivy's mom, because she invited me to an event in Max Mara, and it's about women empowerment. And her mom was also there, and we just started chatting. And we were talking about the differences between networking in the States, or not only in the States, maybe in the West, or networking in the West versus networking in China. That really looked into what you were saying. Her mom, they're Chinese, so it's not, you know, it's based on experience. So that's what I'm just saying. Her mom's said that what is the right way to say it? Networking cannot be transactional.
No.
Of course, you can always expect some kind of fruitful result coming after it. And that is why people go into it in the first hand. But if everything that you're doing is focusing on a transaction, like an immediate transaction, you're not going to get anything. That is the bigger concern.
Exactly.
So, you know, from a businesswoman perspective, for her, she... You would think, because, you know, I have people who are doing business, and you would think that they're really, you know, you care about the digits, you care about the things to the digits, which is true. But one very distinct characteristic of being a businessman or to have a larger vision is you have to be ready to invest first.
Yes.
And then you will have to maybe... you will have to return. But if you only focus on return instead of how much you're going to put in the first place, this thing is not going to happen. And I think that is the key difference, because you're either going into the mind of looking at the return, or you're going into the mind of looking at how much I can present myself, like how much I can give.
Yeah.
It's very, very different.
It really, yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing is like in college, I knew I needed to go to networking events, but I hated them and I would just try and leave as soon as possible. Cause what felt so kind of uncomfortable for me is I just would witness people like in the States just trying to use other people as their ladder to get to where they want, or like fellow peers. There would be these networking events where there's all these different tables in the room and you can go talk to these different companies. And I would literally witness some of my classmates just bulldoze over a fellow classmate and use them as their stepping stool to get in front of this other company. It just, the whole thing just feels gross in a way.
Yeah.
And like you said, like very transactional. Like, what are you?
Yeah.
And the way I approach it is I just can't stand networking events, in the sense, I think networking, and it goes back to what we were talking about when it comes to managing people or working with people. It's what people say when you're not in the room. That's true. Yeah. Networking. Your networking is when, like for you in your role, for example, is what the people you manage have to say about you when you're not there. And
that's a good title for this one.
Yes. Yeah. When, what's said when you're not there, kind of thing. Or
what's said when Amy's not there.
When Amy's not there. Yeah. But you know, you think about it.
Yeah.
And Pelayo, for example.
Yeah.
Did that in your world. He didn't. And then you ended up providing this beautiful letter of recommendation for him to move to his mm-hmm. next step. And I think sometimes where people can get a little lost in management positions is they don't realize that their managees are people that matter to the next step in their career.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's networking. You know what yeah. I mean?
Yeah.
So that, yeah. I think that's genuine rather than, because I totally agree with you. It's like, it turns into this transactional thing. And then what really is going to come from it? If people feel yeah. like you're just trying to get something from them and they're just disposable to you,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
something that we'll all pick up on in a heartbeat, and no one's going to want to respond to that. And
yeah.
So, yeah, that's just so interesting.
But wow, I thought that I had nothing to talk about.
Yeah, we had a lot to talk about. You had a lot to talk about, and I'm so happy we did.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm learning, continue following this season of my
yeah.
journey.
Yes. Yes. And what's cool is we get to watch it progress and unfold and learn yeah. along the way. And I think just like financial conversations, like we were just talking about earlier as well, it's just all this whole conversation is coming full circle. But sometimes career conversations feel taboo too. That
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I don't want to reveal my cards because, but you know what? What if we all did? Because at the end of the day, like me personally, I'm an open book. I'm not going to gatekeep anything when it comes to career-esque mm-hmm. things, because I just want everybody to win. There's more than enough pie for it to go around. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you know, we're all just trying to do our job so we can live the life that we want to. And yeah and sometimes you find fulfillment in your day job, and sometimes you're just there because it's your day job. But either way, you know, it's,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think the more conversations yeah. we have about it, the better.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think about revealing your card, I see the concern, because there are two layers, right? There's either if I show everything, people is going to grab my card. Yeah. And if I show everything, then you will know how much I worth, or like what I am in real life. You may think yeah. that I'm not worth it. You may think that I'm actually just like trying to be someone that I'm not. I think both are valid, but it depends on where to show your cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when other person is in need of guidance and help and looking for you, I think it's totally fine to offer, because you may
yes.
gain more from this type of conversation and dialogues. You may end up being the person who will actually gain a card. Yeah. So that is just a very general idea. And I'm trying to do it myself as well. I start not being afraid of telling people what I do on a daily basis anymore, because I start realizing, when we looping back to what we just said, you know, working in the UN is supposed to be glamorous, yeah. but it is for like a tenth of the time. when you were there, you know, you experienced it.
Yeah.
But that is just one moment, and I'm not scared of telling people what I started getting, not being afraid of telling people what I do on a daily basis anymore. Because for a long time I was afraid of people say, oh, you do that after graduating from master degree. Yes, I do that, and I lead an office, and I'm 30, and have your own judgment, it's not going to affect me. So,
yes. Mic drop, literally, with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
What a way to wrap up this episode.
Yeah. Well, we'll have more to talk about. I'm tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you so much for listening. We'd love for you to join in on the conversation.
If you haven't already, please rate and review this podcast. You can also connect with us on Instagram at @spark_podcast and Facebook at the Spark Podcast with Meg and Amy, or send us an email at hellosparkpodcast@gmail.com.
And wherever you may be listening from, we hope you have the courage to be the spark.